Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. I will start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Peter, do you want to share?
Thank you. My name's Peter and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Yeah, I'd like to share a little bit about how I got into Alcoholics Anonymous and how I've managed to stay for a period of time. You know, I was a chronic alcoholic, and I still am, I suppose. I started drinking at the age of 15 when I started work, and the tradesman used to take me down to the pub at lunchtime and buy me a drink. I was only a little chap, but I managed to drink a bit. But this was a progressive disease, you know, and I started to drink more and more. Now, I didn't understand that I wasn't the same as these people I was drinking with. Because I used to drink with people who drank the same as me. It didn't mean to say they were the same as me. You know, as my drinking progressed, I got worse and worse, and I got into a bit of trouble. But then I got married. You know, I found a woman who could put up with my behaviour. And we got married, we had children. I remember the first child we had, my son. And for most men, having a son, it's a big thing in their lives, you know. But not for me. You see, at that stage of my drinking, the alcohol became the first thing of my thought. And my son was born, and a week later, I came home and I said to my wife, right, I'm going up north for a pub crawl. And I went away for a week and just drank with my friends. You know, and she was 18 years of age, just had a child, and she was there by herself. And that's the selfishness of my disease. You know, it tells me in the book that my greatest defect is my selfishness and self-centeredness. And I found out that was the way it was for me. You know, alcohol became the most important thing in my life. As the children were growing up, you know, they'd say, Dad, Dad, can you come and watch me play league? And I'd say, yeah, we're going. I'll come on Saturday morning and I'll watch you play league. And I really meant it, you know. And I was going to do this and I planned my Saturday morning so I could go and watch them. And I woke up in the morning and I had a bit of a hangover, so I thought, oh, I'll have a drink just to clear the head. Well, as we know, you know, it's that first drink which gets us drunk. And I had that first drink, so I didn't go to watch him play league. I went down the pub and I stayed there, you know. And my daughter, she was a New Zealand gymnast. She performed overseas, you know. I could never see her perform. I never saw her perform once. Selfishness. The alcohol became the most important thing in my life. But then it started to turn on me. It started to turn on me and I started to get a little bit, I suppose, suicidal. It wasn't working, you know. And I wanted to go all my way, don't I? You know? So I went to a treatment at Middlemore, one of the hospitals here in Auckland, and they asked me, how much do you drink? And I said, well, I don't know, you know. And then they said to me, well, how much do you spend? And, you know, there they got me. I couldn't tell lies, really, because my wife was sitting beside me. And so I told them, and my wife broke down and started crying because she was doing a nighttime job to get all the bills together. And I was spending three quarters of the money on alcohol. And that's my drinking, you know. It just got worse and worse. And when the time came, when it didn't work anymore, I was standing on a cliff going to jump off into the rocks. And I said that alcoholic prayer, God, please help me. I can't do this anymore. And what did I do to make myself feel better? I had another drink. Because that's the only answer I had, have another drink. But I believe that little prayer was answered, because a few weeks later I was down the pub and I said to myself, I don't want to drink anymore. And I looked down at the rum glass and I said, that's it. And I went to a doctor and I said, I think I have a drinking problem. I wasn't going to give too much away. And then he, because at this stage of my drinking, I was getting up in the morning and the first thing I'd do was I'd have a swig of vodka or whatever was left in the house to get me going for the day. Because if I didn't have a drink, I'd start shaking. And I felt terrible. And I worked it out with my great magnifying mind that if I had a drink, I'd feel better. And that was my answer to everything. You know, so this doctor knew something about alcoholism and he got me into a medical detox. And they put me on hemi-irons to stop me shaking and shivering too much. And they had the banners of Alcoholics Anonymous on the wall. And I thought, what's all this? And they had a group from, used to come in and they'd share their experience, strength and hope with us inmates or clients. We weren't patients, we were special. I'd sit in the back row there in my pajamas, shaking and shivering and saying, rubbish, I can do this myself. Yet I'd proved to myself I couldn't stop drinking by myself. But there was a man who came to that meeting and he was like me, the smart ones, you can't be told anything. And he says to me, Peter, if you want to go to a meeting, I'll be there. And I went to that meeting and he was there. And he was dressed up in a suit, and he had a tie and a jacket, and he looked sober, you know. And he put his hand out and he says to me, it's good to see you, Peter. I couldn't remember his name, but he could remember mine. And he welcomed me there. He says, just come and sit down and listen. And I remember that first meeting only by one thing. There was an Irish chappie sitting beside me. His name was Eugene. And he was travelling the world, going to AA meetings. And I thought to myself, what a silly bugger. What would you want to do that for? You know? See, I didn't understand about Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought I just came here to stop drinking. But it's not about stopping drinking. It's about getting a new life. Learning how to live a life without having to rely on that alcohol. And he also told me, my stomach was rumbling a lot, and he says to me, he patted me on the shoulder and he said, you know, this will get better, Peter. And I thought he was talking about my stomach, not about my life. You know, that group was very active and they encouraged me to come along. There's a chappie there. His name was Tom. He's dead at the moment. And he used to come and pick me up from home. He'd say, come on, Peter, we're going for a meeting. And I'd say, oh, no, I've had a hard day. I'm too tired. He says, no, we're going to a meeting. And he'd take me around to all these different meetings and introduce me to people of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they would be the same as the next person. They'd encourage me. Keep coming back, Peter. You know, we only do this one day at a time. You know, and this will work. You know. You see, the thing is that after all my years of drinking, I'd lost the ability to retain anything. My short-term memory was gone. I could read a few lines, but in the book, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I couldn't remember what they said. I couldn't remember the next person. After one person had shared, I couldn't remember what the next person was saying. So when I left the meeting, the last person who shared won the prize, and I could remember that until I got to the car. You know, so it took a long time to me to start to work the program. All I thought was, if I came to meetings and didn't drink, I'd get better. But I didn't. I got worse, because I wasn't replacing the alcohol with anything except my willpower, my self-centeredness, and all the anger I was carrying over the years. And it all came to the fore, you know. My wife reckoned I was better drinking than I was sober. It was because I was so angry and taking it out on the ones I love. You know, and I kept going to these meetings, and things got worse, and people would pat me on the back and say, "Oh, you're doing well, Peter," but they couldn't see inside my head. You know. And one day I was in my vegetable garden, and I broke down, and I started crying, and I come to a jumping off point, you know, where I can't live without alcohol, and I can't live with it. And so there I asked a man if he could show me this program, show me how I could work this program. He took me through the book. He told me to find myself a higher power. You know, he told me that if I kept doing this on a daily basis, my life would improve. And, you know, he never told me any lies. It's all happened to me. You know, I've been sober since the 4th of July 1989. You know, and today is more exciting than when I first found that I didn't have to drink for that first day. Life is full of fun today, only because I carry this message to other alcoholics. I don't keep it to myself. You know, I've learned how to live this AA way of life. I've learned how to help other people and not expect anything in return. That's not like me as a drinking alcoholic. You know, if I give you something, I want something back. But as a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I've been given a new life. I get the opportunity now to read this big book to other alcoholics who just come in, like it was said to me. Yeah, and teach them how to live this AA way of life. How blessed am I? Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share this morning is Kathleen. Do you want to share?
Hi, Steve. Hi, everybody. I'm Kathleen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kathleen.
It's good to be here today. It's always good to share the message. It helps me, and hopefully someone will hear what they need to hear. I grew up in an alcoholic home. My first drink was, ironically, with my grandpa at the age of, I think I was probably 4 years old. He used to give me sips of red wine as I sat on his lap. Not a lot, but I did like the taste of it, and I remember that jelly glass. I used to go with him to the pub as well, and sit outside in my baby carriage as he would catch up with his mates. This was a long time ago when things were safe to do that. My first drink taken on my own was when I was 12 years old. It was the same year my dad entered rehab for his first rehab for alcoholism, and I don't think there was a coincidence there. And I started drinking, and drinking for me gave me relief from all the things that were going on in my head, all the things that I was afraid of, all the things that said I wasn't good enough, all the things that said I didn't fit in. It was fun, and I became a more popular person with my peer group, probably because I could get alcohol easily in my house. And from there, the first time I drove a car, I drank before I drove that car. I had experiences when I was a teenager when I drove in blackout. Why I didn't, you know, I was being looked after at that point. I didn't realize it, but something was looking after me, something greater than me. And I continued. I don't know if I, you know, I said for a long time I didn't know if I drank alcoholically at first, but all the evidence was there that when I picked up a drink, I didn't know where it would land me. And, you know, and that was until I was about 39 years old. One big change that happened in my life is when I met my first husband, and I met him at Beer Fest in Munich, and as you do when you're an alcoholic, and that was a whirlwind romance. Some would call it insane, and we got married within 8 months of meeting, and he was a Kiwi, and I was an American, and we ended up moving back to New Zealand. And while it seemed exciting and romantic, it actually, the reality of it was I was incredibly lonely. I'd left all my friends, I'd left my family, and I was quite willing to do this because I thought there was something better on the other side. You know, I wanted something different. I was always searching for something different, something to make me feel like I belonged more, or you know, there was something more exciting out there, and this was it. And it turned out not to be. And I think my drinking did change a lot then. I think it felt like it went more from a this is fun to I need this. And you know, for about 9 years after that, I drank like that. And I came to AA from my family, but I came to AA because when my dad had passed away, I think I realized that I probably had the disease. I came through another 12-step program, and I think for the first couple of years in AA, I wouldn't say that I joined the fellowship. I would sit in rooms, and I would, you know, say I was fine. Fine was the only emotion I knew. I couldn't tell you how I felt. I couldn't tell you what was going on. I had replaced alcoholism. I had replaced the alcohol with working. And everything was bottled up. I didn't ask for help. I sat in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and got sicker and sicker and had no idea that that's what was happening. I thought because I wasn't blaming everyone else for my problems, because that's the one thing I had picked up, not to blame everyone else for my problems. I was blaming myself for all the problems, and I was very much in untreated alcoholism. And what that led to in Alcoholics Anonymous, by me not participating, but basically sitting on the outskirts watching, which is a terrible place to be, was a nervous breakdown 2.5 years into my time in Alcoholics Anonymous. I won't call it sobriety because it was desperate and it was white-knuckling it. And I hit bottom, and that career that had survived my drinking and the marriage that had survived my drinking and the financial security that had survived my drinking wasn't to survive my early sobriety. I had to put down that career for a while. That marriage ended. And you know, I had a lot of financial insecurity. I had a lot less money than I used to have. And this was what got me. And those things happened, and I didn't have to pick up a drink, and that was only because every single day, every single moment of every day, I relied on something greater than myself. What this program, through the Big Book, has taught me is how to rely on a higher power. It's how to be given that power that I lack. You know, my dilemma is my lack of power, and through practicing this program and relying on that higher power, I'm given the ability to function without a drink on a daily basis. I wanted to share that in my drinking days, you know, people talk a lot about the bad things they did. And for a lot of my drinking, I actually was better when I was drunk than when I was sober. When I was drunk, I was much happier. I was much more social. It wasn't like that at the end, but for the most part, I was a much happier person when I was drinking. Drinking was my solution. When I wasn't drinking, when I didn't have a drink in me, and I could go for a couple months without drinking. I always went back to the drinking because it was such a relief. But I didn't recognize that was a mental obsession. But I would always go back to the drinking because without a drink, in untreated alcoholism, I was resentful. I was fearful. I was self-righteous. I was entitled. I was prideful. I was all those things. And what I know today is I can still be all those things if I'm not working a program in Alcoholics Anonymous, if I'm not living, putting those steps, those 12 steps that we see on the wall, into my life. I have, as has been shared, I have a life that I didn't know I wanted. You know, what I've learned is God has plans for me that are well beyond what I could imagine for myself. I have that career back, and I am married to someone who is in recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I may not have all the money I used to have, but I have some measure of financial security. Those are all subject to me practicing a program each day, and living those steps so that I'm able to rely on that higher power. So it's been really nice to share, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Kathleen. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength, and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Anne. Would you like to share?
Yeah, thanks. Hi, I'm Anne. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Anne.
Thank you for the sharing today. I'm really happy to be here today. Now looking back, I think I was born an alcoholic. I just thought I had a troubled childhood. And when I found alcohol, it released me from the anxiety, the fear, the trauma that I'd suffered. It got me out of my head and it got me into la-la land and a happy place. And I didn't have to feel anything and I could pretend to be normal. I grew up in a household where alcohol didn't exist. I later learned that my grandfather was quite an abusive, full-on alcoholic. So when I discovered alcohol at 15 with a friend, where we were having an overnight sleep out, and we had not very much alcohol, but I got absolutely paralytic, and I thought I'd found heaven. I thought this is the thing that will make me feel good. And so every job I had after that, miraculously, I ended up in a drinking culture. It was very easy to drink at lunchtime, to drink straight after work, to drink as much as I wanted and spend all my extra income on. And I just thought that was normal. I thought young people like me went out and had a good time, because if you were having a good time, there was always alcohol involved. I had to push through the drinking because I didn't actually like the taste of it, and I used to get a hangover the same night, and I thought, this is a bit unfair, everyone else is having fun and I've got a hangover. So I would make myself sick, drink more, push through, until I eventually learned to drink quite a lot. And then I started to have blackouts, and I didn't realise what they were. I just woke up and thought, what did I do yesterday? I know I went to the pub, and then I don't remember anything. And I was really ashamed and didn't share that with anyone. I didn't think I had a drinking problem. I just thought I had a mental problem. Until one day I got violent and blackout, and I thought, oh no, maybe it's the alcohol. So I stopped drinking, and I stopped drinking for a year because I, every time I thought about it, I felt shame and horror at what I'd done, until I decided, no, I was fine now. I'd gone a year. I can't possibly have a problem. And I was only about 21, I think. And I thought, I'll start drinking again, but I won't drink whatever it was that I was drinking. I'll drink something else. And I did that, and then that became a problem. And then so I drank something else and swapped drinks so many times that I could quite happily drink anything apart from brandy. Never been able to drink brandy. But I still thought that it was something wrong with me that I couldn't drink like other people. And I tried different groups of friends. I tried different, you know, moved multiple times. Didn't really move jobs because I was in a really good job that allowed me to drink lots. But I ended up moving overseas and thought I'd start my life afresh, only to find new ways to drink, new places to drink, and new things to take, and new ways of escape. And the whole time I thought everyone else had some kind of problem. Maybe I was a little bit weird, but I was just different. I felt different the whole time, and like I never fitted in. Alcohol helped me. It helped me be in my head, but be sociable and interact, because I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what I was doing. If I just copied what everyone else was doing, and I could do that if I was drunk, and I couldn't do that if I was sober, because I think I was trying to be me. And I managed to, what they call, I suppose, a functioning alcoholic. I managed to drink my way through 34 years and got to the point where I was now drinking all by myself. I didn't drink with anyone anymore. I didn't want to spend any more money than I had to. I wanted all the money that I had available to go towards alcohol, and the cheapest way to do that was to drink at home alone. So I did. And I drank out of coffee cups. I had alcohol hidden all over the place. I never put my empties in the same place. I didn't buy alcohol from the same place. I was hiding it. I hid everything, and externally just was normal. And then I found AA. I walked through the door because I realised I couldn't go on, and I knew nothing about AA. I'd learned in AA that I am an alcoholic and that this is a disease, and that if I did what some old-timers told me and showed me, that I could get well if I followed the steps, if I got a sponsor, if I did everything that I was being guided to do, that I could get well. And I am now 19 and a half months sober, and my life has turned around. I am happy beyond belief. I don't know how to describe how my life has changed, because that would take my own show. Just very thankful for the program, thankful for everyone who keeps coming back and telling us all how to do it. Thanks.
Thanks, Anne. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We've had members of our fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Now, if you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, a couple of things you can do. You can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the whole country. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.